black bears in the Northeast don't need humans to survive. It's only when humans provide something that's really easy for them to gain a food source that we have problems.
The most help to the bears is not to feed them. Because believe me, I'm for one would just love to be feeding bears or anything such as I could hang out with them. And I can't do that, and I don't do that.
They eat a lot of vegetables, grubs. They're opportunists. But if there's a time to hunt, they will be a predator. They need to survive.
Catskills black bears and Catskills humans have every reason to get along very nicely, if humans do the right thing. On this week's show, living harmoniously with the black bears among us, and how to respond if a bear gets too close for comfort. You've heard of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. This is Cat's Cast and the Three Bear Experts.
Well, my name is Christine Flonas. I've been a resident of Woodstock for about 32 years. I got on this adventure with animals here in Woodstock through just an accident. And someone asked if I'd take care of a crow, and I said, oh, sure. I had no idea what I was getting into. And I ended up having a mentor and becoming a licensed wildlife rehabilitator in the state of New York.
I'm Bill Rudge, Natural Resource Supervisor for the Department of Environmental Conservation. Before that, I was a forester for the department. I started my career as a wilderness ranger, and so I had lots of opportunities, including interactions with bears.
I am Patty Rudge, and I am a retired New York State Forest Ranger from Region 3, and I had the responsibility for the town of Shandaken and Denning. I have had and continue to have a great deal of exposure to that which goes on in the wildlands around here.
As Catskills black bears emerge from hibernation, this is a very good time to remind ourselves how best to share space with them.
As soon as there's warm days like this, a bear could wake up. And then, of course, if it's this area and it's Wednesday and the garbage is out, that's a very good source of food. Pizza? Fabulous. Leftover salmon? Fabulous. Hamburgers? Fabulous. It's like bird feeders? Fabulous. You know, sunflower seeds? It's heavy in oil and protein, and that's a great food. We have a garbage pickup on Wednesdays at our home, and we do not put our garbage out until the morning. And our garbage, they come early. So sometimes we're out at 6 a.m. or 5:30 a.m. moving our garbage can out. And if everybody in the neighborhood does that, then your whole neighborhood will become safer from having confrontations with bears. Look at this from the bear's point of view. A bear lives here in this area. There's lots of people living here. We have grills, we have garbage out, we have bird feeders out. So from a bear's point of view, people are lovely. It's like these people are so kind. They're always putting stuff out for us. Here we are, children. You come to this family every week. This is the day you come, and they will have this big container, and there's these bags that you just rip them open very easy and spread it out and just pick out what you want. And so they, you know, oh my gosh, these are wonderful two-legged people. And then look at the bird feeder. That's for the birds and it's for us too. There it is right there. And if you give it a little whack, it sprinkles them on the ground and you help yourself. You know, I really look at it that way. It's just like, what does it look like to the bear? It looks like we are the nicest critters on earth. Oh my God, so generous, always kind. And then they're completely taken back when something bad happens. They're like, what? I didn't do nothing.
So you have a rule about bird feeders in terms of when to put them out and when to take them down, right? Are there some pretty specific dates there?
Yeah, it's real specific and it's not working this year. So I would say spring, March 21st, that's the end of the bird feeders. And December 21st, you can put the brood feeder out for the winter. But gosh, this year is all crazy. So we're so warm. So maybe the brood feeders are about done already. And we could still have terrible storms or something. We know that. But the warm weather, a bear can wake up and come scrounging. And the easiest food to scrounge is a garbage bag or a brood feeder.
There may be a bear problem at one's home. Then the homeowner is advised to tighten up their garbage, feed the dogs indoors, get rid of the bird feeders, and so on and so forth. And the homeowner is so grateful for this insight. So they think they've done so. But what they really do is just bring the bird feeder in at night, for instance. They do a partial cleanup, feeling so pleased with themselves that they've learned and they've adhered. Yet they have another problem where the same problem persists. And then the landowner gets a little angry and frustrated. And then very often we have a bear problem. And it's not a bear problem. It's really a people not paying attention to the basics and doing what they're told. So we have a people problem. And the bear does take a hit sometimes.
The first thing is to eliminate any possibility that that bear can get at a food source. I mean, that's paramount because bears learn that activity. Bears aren't attracted to people in general. They associate people with food, and that's why they would come to a home or a garage or that kind of thing.
There was a community, a local community, and there was one person who just would not take their bird feeders down all summer. Just really wanted it. That's what he enjoyed, and he wanted it that way. And the neighbors would speak to him and beg him to please take the feeders, and he wouldn't do it because he felt that was his right. The problem was that the bears became very familiar with that and would come around for it. And then for some reason or another, they would also go to the other houses in the area and bother them and say, maybe somebody's got a ripe cantaloupe on their counter in their kitchen or in their screen and porch. Well, the bear's gonna smell that, and that smells delicious, and it looks like it's being offered if it's outside, if it's in a screen and porch. There's nothing there, just a screen. There were incidents with some neighbors. A mom and was eating with her kids peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or something at the kitchen table next to a window, and the window was wide open, and the bear smelled it, of course, first, and saw them and went up to the window and thought he could get one of those sandwiches. That's very frightening for people, for a mother with little kids. So the DEC solution is that they tag the bear. And when that bear gets 3 notices, they shoot the bear. They used to take a nuisance bear and take them someplace else, but there's no longer any place else. New Jersey used to bring theirs up here. but now they can't, and we can't, and nobody can. There's no place to take them because the bear population has just exploded because we're feeding them.
I'm recently retired, but the policy that was in place when I was working was that the first interaction with a bear, the department would coach the homeowner to take the steps to remove anything that might attract the bear. You know, make sure their food was secured. If they have a dumpster, secure the dumpster. Put their garbage out, not until the morning when they knew the garbage company was going to pick up the garbage. That's the biggest first step, is to remove the attractants. The next step we would recommend would be make noise, try to discourage the bear from interacting with them. If the bear continued to be a problem, if they couldn't discourage the bear, call the Department of Environmental Conservation. The department can put out a trap and trap the bear and remove it from the community where the bear is causing the problem. They may just relocate the bear and hope the bear would be happy with that new habitat. But I'll tell you, relocation rarely works, especially if there's a strong attractant. The bear oftentimes will go back to where the bear was relocated from, and at that point may have to decide that that bear could no longer survive in the wild and had to be killed.
So what we keep literally at the back door are noisemakers. different makes and models, but clearly we have experience. The basic whistle, which is high-pitched and as much lung power as you have. This is a marine horn. This also is a marine horn that he has to have a charge on it, and should you unexpectedly recognize that it's out of energy, you always have this one to go to, or this one. Really big noisemakers.
Yeah.
Pots and pans, you know, will do it. Yelling loudly, and quite frankly, our dogs. Our dogs solve the problem here.
I asked Patty to demonstrate one of those marine horns, and it was certainly audible, reverberating through the valley. That's an Atwood Bellow air horn, and CatsCast is giving one away to one lucky bear-conscious listener. Details after the break. CatsCast is proudly sponsored by Ulster Savings Bank. Interested in working with a great team at their Phoenicia location? Call 866-440-0391 or visit them at ulstersavings.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, Equal Opportunity Employer. Support also comes from Briars and Brambles Books, the go-to independent book and gift store in the Catskills, located in Windham, New York, right next to the pharmacy, just steps away from the Windham Path. Open daily. For more information, visit briarsandbramblesbooks.com or call 518-750-8599. Okay, so now that you've stowed that bird feeder and locked up the garbage, thank you, by the way, there's still plenty of food out there for those primarily vegetarian Catskills bears.
They are primarily an herbivore. In other words, they're vegetarians, pretty much. But when they come out in the spring, one of the things you'll see is that the bears will be rolling over old logs and stuff in the forest, and they're looking for grubs, and they might be looking for mushrooms or other bugs or whatever is in that rotting wood that's fallen on the forest floor, which is another reason why it's good not to clean up your forest, but to let things be there that are rotting, because they attract different kinds of insects or whatever critters that then are useful. It's a whole food chain that's important too.
They'll eat a lot of mast. And that's the name for beechnuts, acorns, cherry drops. And they're seasonal. But it's classic to walk up on our woodlot or anywhere in the woods. But when you see a lot of rocks, just flip, flip, flip. And it's amazing, yes, to think that they'll work that hard, make that exactly much effort for a little bug.
A little grub, right.
Berries, nuts are a fabulous source for a lot of animals, for bears. The acorns, the hickory nuts, there's leaves. You know, all the Native American societies have clans, and the bear clan is the clan of healers, because the bear is believed to know all the healing plants. I suppose that they know which plants to go to if they have a stomach ache or whatever.
And if you happen to bump into a bear as it's foraging in the woods, well, Patty Rudge has this advice.
I would stop, for sure. I would see if there's more than one, meaning that it might be a sow with cubs.
Right.
And then make certain that bear, if it's terribly close, sees me as well. Because again, in the woods, it's a really beautiful thing to sit back quietly and watch the wildlife and enjoy it doing what it naturally does. But if you are startled by the bear, or if the bear, you know, in turn is startled, you want to make sure it knows you're there and it knows you're human. And the easiest way to do that is to be big and to talk at it. And I would always tell people to speak on or to yell on the exhale. It gives you some control and a sense of command. So you simply set your diaphragm and you yell, "No bear," or "Go bear," or, you know, "I'm human bear," rather than on the inhale and a squeal, and you don't have the control, and you want to give yourself a sense of command.
Right.
And Christine Flonis elaborated on the approach she would advise.
if you're hiking or walking and you find a bear, that's your good manners and say, oh, hello, and gently retreat or go around, look around. Do you see cubs? Do you see other bears? Do you see anybody else? And just being respectful. If you are out in the woods and you run into another person, you probably take a look at them and assess that person. And you might greet them and you walk around them. You give people space and you do the same thing with the bear. Give them space. If it's a female bear, it's a mama bear, and she's got cubs, the cubs are taught to climb a tree, usually a pine tree, because it has really great gnarly bark. She wants to protect her cubs. She might do a big huh, or a huff or a hum right at you and make a noise. And then she's telling you to back off. So then you know you have to somehow go around that situation.
It's a very clear warning. The other warning is when they will drop down and plant their feet and stamp both feet or click their jaws. They're not happy animals. You're well within their personal space and you need to exit.
I think exiting at that point is the right response. Bears don't want to have interactions with people. They really don't. So it's very rare for a bear to approach a person. The one situation where there is more concern, from our experience, is when there are cubs involved. And that's when you want to figure out where the cubs are in relation to the bear, and then make sure you're not between the bear and the cubs.
I would not turn my back on a bear that I was not comfortable with, or on any animal,
right,
or any person for that matter. The same street smarts I would tell people that they are so tuned into when they live in urban areas, they need to use up here and put a twist on it. So keep all of your senses wide open, keep your eyes on the potential problem, and retreat. You just bail out on that hike for the day and back to the vehicle, and it may be the long way around, but put a lot of distance between yourself and the problem. Try so hard not to run. It's a real hard thing not to run. Give yourself some space, and then when you feel like you've got enough distance, people are going to start trotting down the trail. They want out.
Our bear experts stressed that the likelihood of a serious incident with a black bear is extremely low. There are rare exceptions, of course, so exercise common sense, spatial awareness, and a healthy respect, not just for black bears, but for all of our Catskills wildlife.
They are just a gentle, very large, but gentle animal. They're beautiful. You see that they're clean, they're sweet, they're very playful, they're funny. One year in Phoenicia, in the 4th of July parade, there was a bear that joined the parade for a while. I mean, they're really, really lovely.
We have certainly seen bear here that just are traveling through, and it's a beautiful thing to see, as we should see them here, right in the middle of the Catskills. So we should see them, and we should be happy to see them, and we should be able to live with them, and we do.
Click the link in our show notes for a chance to win a marine air horn, like the one Patty uses when a bear gets too close for comfort. We'll announce the winner on our next show. Thanks to our listener supporters like Alan and Donna, Vivian, Daphne, and Elizabeth Ann. If you'd like to make a contribution, just click the donate button at catscast.com. Thanks also to the Mountain Eagle, covering Delaware, Greene, and Schoharie counties, including brands for local regions like the Windham Weekly, Schoharie News, and Catskills Chronicle. For more information, call 518-763-6854 or email mountaineaglenews@gmail.com. CatsCast is a production of Silver Hollow Audio, a proud member of the Central Catskills Chamber of Commerce, providing services to businesses, community organizations, and local governments in the Central Catskills region. Follow the Central Catskills Chamber of Commerce on Facebook and sign up for a weekly email of local events at centralcatskills.org. Silver Hollow Audio is an Ulster County certified green business and a member of 1% for the Planet. I'm your host, Brett Barry. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.